Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 14. And the thought for today's message is grace under pressure. Now, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out on their missionary trip from the sending church Antioch. They set sail from Seleucia. They went to Cyprus. And then they went to Perga, and chapter 13 ends with them leaving Antioch in the Galatia region. Now, at Antioch, they did face persecution, but the scripture does not give evidence that any of the persecution was violent. And it says in verse 51 of chapter 13, it says, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." Now, that's where we pick up in chapter 14. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Now, as Paul and Barnabas at the onset here at Iconium, they were having success. Jews were being saved. Greeks or Gentiles were being saved. They were having great success. But what we have to understand is anytime we have great success in the Lord, if we have a great service, we have a great revival, Satan does not like that. And there will be opposition that will come our way. So that opposition is mentioned in verse 2. It says, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." The brethren being Barnabas and Paul. Now, what does this mean that they stirred up their minds and made them evil against the brethren? Well, if we think about it like this, lies were being spread about Paul and Barnabas. Maybe they were being threatened. Or maybe if we put it in today's terms, maybe they were getting hate mail. But we do know that there was untruths being spread about them. Things were being fabricated about them to get some bitterness toward them so the Jews would not lose the control that they had here at Iconium. Because we have to ask ourselves, why the opposition? What is it to these unbelieving Jews that their fellow Jews accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? What is it to them? Well, if we think about it, at the root of that opposition, we know it's Satan. But if we look deeper into it and we think about it, during Jesus's ministry and before Jesus's ministry, what was the Sanhedrin doing to the Jewish people? They were controlling them. They were oppressing them. They were manipulating them. And I'm sure the same thing was going on here in Iconium. And we also have to realize and think about the great influence of the Roman Empire that was here in this area. So if we think about it, what about, why the opposition? Well, maybe these Jews thought that they were protecting the traditions of their fathers. Maybe that was it. But some of it had to do with control. And as the old saying is, that the love of money, not the old saying, the scripture teaches us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself is the root of all evil. The love of money. So if you think about it, if I don't know how big this town of Iconium or city of Iconium was, but if we think about the perimeter of Atlanta, I-285, what if every person inside of I-285 got saved? What if that happened? And that would be absolutely awesome and it would be great. But let's think about what would happen if everyone inside of 285 got saved. What would happen? Well, The first thing, well, I don't know if it'd be the first thing, but the first thing I thought about was bars would close. Strip joints would close. Liquor stores would close. Prostitution would stop. Pornography would stop. Child sex trafficking would stop. I think you get the point here, how that all these things would stop. And when these things stop, people that run these kind of businesses and things become economically hurt. Their pocketbook hurts. And see, one of the probably one of the reasons these unbelieving Jews was stirring up the Gentiles is they had economic control over them, and they saw that as Paul and Barnabas was coming in and preaching the gospel and shedding the light of the gospel upon these people and exposing these people for who they truly are, they were going to lose that economic advantage, if you will, that they had, and they began to stir people up. Now, I don't know for sure if that's what the reason for the opposition was, but we hear the old saying that everything eventually boils down to money. But then if we see here how that the unbelieving Jews, they were stirring up the Gentiles and they were spreading lies about Paul and Barnabas, and they were probably being threatened, and if you will, probably getting hate mail. But I want you to notice here in verse 3. Verse 3 says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, if a preacher's in a congregation and everyone's not in one mind and one accord, say half the congregation is with the preacher and the other half, or maybe even just the other third, is spreading lies, telling untruths, fabricating things about the pastor, about the minister. Does that minister want to stay? Does he really want to stay? In his carnal mind and in his flesh, what he truly wants to do is flee. He truly wants to get away from it. But let's think about what Paul and Barnabas does here. It says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. So right in the face of all the lies and wicked things that's being said about them, do they hit the road and go elsewhere? No. They begin to dig in. They dig in their heels and they speak even more boldly in the Lord. And that's a testimony that the Lord was giving Paul and Barnabas grace to withstand all the opposition, all the fiery darts, all these wicked things that Satan, through these unbelieving Jews, could throw at them, and the Lord was giving them grace to be able to withstand that, and they were able to boldly speak in the Lord, and also that the Lord granted them signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So the Lord was giving Paul and Barnabas grace to continue on right in the face of opposition, but the Lord was also extending grace by these signs and wonders. He was extending grace to these unbelieving Jews to say, hey, just open your eyes and see what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer you. He offers you salvation. He offers you eternal life. You don't have to do any work for it, for the Lord Jesus did the work for you by living a perfect life, by going to the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, being that unblemished sacrificed Lamb of God for you. And if you just simply place your faith in him and confess the fact that you're a sinner, believe on the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was the grace that the Lord was giving to Paul and Barnabas. And then it says in verse 4, it says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Now, There was no one here at Iconium. There was no one neutral. They were either with Paul and Barnabas or they were against him. Now, if we think about being no neutrality, there's only two kinds of people in this world. There's saved people and there's lost people. You're on one side of the fence. You're either saved or you're lost. There is no one neutral when it comes to the Lord. For Jesus himself said, he asked a question in Luke 12:51. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? He says, I tell you nay, but rather division. See, Jesus didn't come as a troublemaker, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And mankind has to make a decision. That's where the division comes from. You have to make a decision to either accept or reject him. If we think about the two thieves on the cross, who was in the center? Jesus was on the center. One was on one side, the other on the other side. One rejected him and one didn't. And Jesus was the dividing point between those two. And see, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no one neutral. You're either saved or you're lost. But see, here in Iconium, there was no neutrality. Part of the city was with him. Part of them wasn't. And it says in verse 5, and it says, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers. Isn't it interesting how that they got the rulers involved and somehow made this assault on Paul and Barnabas to appear to be legal? And it says, and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Now here at this point on this first mission trip is where it starts to become violent. And it says in verse 6, they were aware of it. Now somehow along the line, Paul and Barnabas became aware of this plot to use them despitefully and to stone them. And from there, they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. But what we have to think about here is the grace under pressure that God granted Paul and Barnabas to be able to withstand people that was telling lies about them, spreading untruths, stirring up other people to be against them. But our natural inclination is to run from that. But see what Paul and Barnabas did to manifest the grace of God, they dug in their heels more and they spoke more boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for men as Paul and Barnabas, we have to stop and think, would I be saved? Would you be saved? We have to be so thankful for those men that completely surrenders themselves to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and completely depends on his grace. They dig in their heels. They preach the gospel regardless of what opposition comes their way so that people can be saved. And friends, that is grace under pressure. And that's my message for today. I hope something has been said that is helpful to you and will help you grow closer to your Savior. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.